Today's Bible reading is from the first book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Thanks, Patrick. Well, we're in our Psalms of Summer series, and it's exciting. I love the Psalms. My name's Tim, by the way. I didn't introduce myself before. If I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you after the service. Happy New Year. It's a joy to start a new year. I don't know about you, but I've always loved the new year. Some people, I'm sure, would tell me, Tim, the earth's constantly moving around the sun. It doesn't matter at which point we decide it's a new year. That's just an arbitrary mathematical decision. That doesn't faze me. That's fine. I still love the new year. I love the sense of newness. I always have and I always will. You know, they say new year, new you. And I know that's not true, right? It's the same you as it was last year. But if there's any opportunity for us to do something new to benefit our lives, I'm okay. I'm willing to take it. I'm a pragmatist in that way. If there's an opportunity to say, well, this year I'm going to do something different, then that's a good thing. I know in our culture, a lot of people give up alcohol in January. And it's just a way of saying, well, in this new year, I want to try living a bit more healthily, mental health, physical health. And so I'm going to give up alcohol in January. I think good on them. You know, that's a great thing for people to do. It's a new year, and if that can lead to some changes, positive changes in your life, that's a good thing. You know, obviously, I'm talking a little bit about New Year's resolutions. I reckon maybe it's 50-50 in terms of who loves New Year's resolutions and who hates New Year's resolutions. For some people, they work. So if you're one of those skeptics, I want to tell you that sometimes they work. Sometimes they work. One year, I wanted to work on my upper body strength. And so I decided I was going to do 50 pull-ups or 50 chin-ups every weekday for the whole year. And it's like pretty big, you know, commitment. And I decided, well, if I'm sick or if I can't find a pull-up bar, I had one at home and I had one at work, so there was plenty of pull-up bars around. If I can't find a pull-up bar or if I'm sick, I'll change it to 100 push-ups that day. Even like fully kind of sick in bed all day, still rolling out and kind of doing 20 push-ups five times a day. And I did it. I did it for the whole year. So a whole year, I kept that commitment every weekday, Monday to Friday, either 50 pull-ups or 100 push-ups. And so for me, I look back at that and I go, well, it obviously worked for me that year. You know, I didn't get muscles on my muscles. I'm still a fairly skinny guy. But it was helpful for my upper body strength. It was helpful for my general fitness. And I loved it. And it took me about 5 minutes a day. So I kind of look back and I go, well, there's nothing negative about that. And then when it comes to our spiritual lives as well, what about reading the Bible? Many of us have made a decision at some point, I'm going to read the Bible this year. Whether it was the whole Bible, I'm going to take a one-year Bible reading plan and read through the whole Bible in a year. It's about four chapters a day. Or maybe you read through the New Testament in a year. Or maybe you followed another Bible reading plan that someone gave you. I don't know. But I'm sure for many of us, there's been a commitment you've made for your spiritual life at the start of a year that's worked. It's stuck. And it's been a blessing to you. I remember I, years ago, decided I'm going to read through the Bible this year. And I read through the whole Bible that year. I didn't know how to do it. No one gave me a Bible reading plan. Someone just said, if you read four chapters a day, you'll get through the whole Bible in a year. And so that's what I did. And, you know, some days I didn't read much. And then other days I just was on a bus trip for 8 hours. And so I just read the whole book of Leviticus or something like that, you know. So it was a bit haphazard. But I got through the Bible in a year, and that was a blessing to me. And the next year, I decided, you know, I'm going to do it again. By that stage, I'd learned that you can actually download a Bible reading plan, and it'll tell you which chapters to read each day. And that was way more organized, and I did that, and that was a blessing to me. And then the third year, I remember thinking, well, I've done it for 2 years. You know, maybe I'll give myself a rest, and I won't do like a serious Bible reading plan this third year. And I remember then it was much more difficult for me to engage with Scripture each day, just for who I am, for my personality. I benefited from that structure of having, these are the things you're meant to read today. Because when I was just opening my Bible a little bit willy-nilly on some days and not on others, I found that I didn't know how much to read. I sort of struggled with that a little bit. And I ended up reading a whole lot less. And I could feel that in my spiritual life. I could feel that I'd been drinking from the fire hose of God's truth and wisdom for 2 years, and then all of a sudden I was just having a little glass of water every second day. You know, and it was noticeably different in my spiritual walk with the Lord when I wasn't reading the Bible every day. And so that to me then made me go, all right, I'm just going to do this every year. And that's basically what I've done since then. After that 1 year off, I decided I'm just going to read through the Bible in its entirety every year. And I'd change things. I'd do it differently. I'd read a different translation, or I've been reading in Greek and Hebrew. You know, I'd do things different. But the goal for me is still the same. I want to take this opportunity of this new year and bring about positive change in my life. We're looking at Psalm 1 this morning. Psalm 1 has nothing to do with the new year, but it is the new, it's the beginning of the book of Psalms, right? The book of Psalms has 150 Psalms in it, and Psalm 1 is the Psalm that the composers of the book of Psalms decided should go right at the start. And so it fits with us in the new year. This is right at the beginning of the year, and we're looking at the psalm that's right at the beginning of the book of Psalms. There's something about beginnings that we find in this psalm, and it's a psalm of wisdom. Wisdom. There are different kinds of psalms in the book of Psalms, which are it's the song book of ancient Israel. There are praise psalms that say, praise the Lord a lot. There are psalms of lament, which is a kind of a sad psalm. It's a way of passing your grief and pain onto God. There are royal psalms, psalms that deal with kingship and royalty. And there are wisdom psalms, psalms that actually teach us the way we need to live. And that's what Psalm 1 is. It's a wisdom psalm. It's encouraging us to learn from God's wisdom in the way that we live our lives. So we're going to dive into it together. Before we do, I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wisdom of your word. And we pray now that you would teach us your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the psalm kicks off with these words, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. I've actually got 6 B phrases for you this morning. Words starting with B, and we're going to have one for each verse, and it's going to help you just sort of lock in, what is this about? So what do you think is my B word for this verse? Yeah, I thought you'd say blessed. It's actually not. It's bad advice. That's what I went with. Bad advice. Blessed would have been good too. This psalm tells us about how we shouldn't take bad advice. It does talk about the blessed life. The word for blessed there in Hebrew is ashrei. There are 2 different words for bless in Hebrew. And this is the word that means happy. Happy. Some words, when you see the word blessed in Hebrew, sometimes it means something else. This one means happy. It's saying happy is the person who. And basically what that means is it's telling us, what does it look like to live a happy life? What is the kind of life you've always wanted? What is the life where you kind of look back on it and you go, I'm happy with the way I've lived my life. That's what this psalm is going to tell you. How can you, when you're old, when you're passing away, when you're looking back on your life, how can you get to that point where you say, I'm happy with the way I lived my life? Well, if you follow this psalm, you'll be able to say that. So what does it look like? Well, it looks like not taking bad advice. You notice there's a progression here. There's walking and then standing and then sitting. The image is this. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That's another one of the translations that is used here. The idea is that you're walking along the road, and then around you are all these wicked people giving you bad advice. And the psalm is saying, a happy person is someone who walks along the road and doesn't have wicked people around them giving them bad advice. If you have wicked people around you giving you bad advice, that's not going to lead to you being blessed. It's not going to lead to you being happy. Now, wicked here means people who are trying to lie, cheat, and steal. There's those who are trying to get ahead in a cheating way at the expense of others. They're focused on cheating the system and gaining things for themselves in a dishonest and evil way. I remember when I worked on various building sites in the construction industry, I was a formworker's laborer, and most of the guys I worked with were good guys. But some of the guys I worked with were wicked in terms of, you know, how this psalm would describe them. I remember sitting in the lunchroom hearing guys give each other advice about how to lie, how to cheat, and how to steal. And I'm sitting there going, man, this is horrible advice. And they're talking to each other. And I would chime in every once in a while with like my advice. You go, I don't think you should do that. I think you should do this. And they would respect what I had to say. But it was very clear that what I was saying was from a different source to this wicked advice about how to lie and how to cheat and how to steal. And the psalm's saying it's better if you're not hearing wicked advice. The problem with bad advice is that it leads to you standing in the way of sinners. Now, notice that there's a progression. You've gone from walking and now you're standing. So there's no movement forward in your life when you choose the sinner's path. You stop moving forward in life. And eventually, you're sitting down, not moving forward at all. These are people who start off thinking, I'm moving somewhere with my life, I'm going somewhere with my life, but then they're listening to bad advice, and that leads to them not having any real progress. They're now standing in the way of sinners. And the final step is then they're sitting in the company of mockers. Do you know there's a modern word for a mocker? Do you know what the modern word for a mocker is? A troll. A troll. You know, there are lots of online trolls. These are people who aren't doing anything of value with their own life. And what they've decided to do is look at people who are moving forward with their lives and say, well, I'm just going to sit back and criticize them. You know, it's a way of kind of dealing with the fact that you're not moving forward with your own life. You just criticize those who are. And that's the picture here. The person had started walking, moving forward with their life, but then they were listening to bad advice. So then they've stopped walking forward. They're standing in this sinner's way. And then eventually they're jaded and mocking. They're an online troll sitting down and just judging the people who are walking past them along the way. So a happy, blessed person is someone who doesn't follow that journey. What about you? What is the bad advice that you're listening to? I tried to think through what are genuine examples of bad advice that you might hear in your life. In your family, you might hear the advice that you should lie about things just to keep the peace. At your school or university, your friends might advise you to cheat in order to get ahead. In your friendship circle, maybe there's bullying going on and you're being pressured to participate in the bullying. At work, maybe you have the opportunity to take credit for what someone else has done and you're being advised to do that. Or maybe there's an unethical practice in your firm and you're noticing that this is unethical. It's legal, nothing much you can do about it, but it is unethical and your firm is telling you to go along with it. I remember receiving advice when I was working in a warehouse. I was working packing boxes, you know, shipping shipments. And I got there and I was pretty keen to pack boxes well and quickly. And one of the other workers who'd been there a lot longer than me, you know, he was probably, I don't know, 15 years older than me. He noticed how efficiently I was working. And he said, Tim, you're working too hard and you're working too fast. It's making all of us look bad. So just slow down and that'll, you know, that'll be a good thing for everyone. And I was conflicted. I remember thinking, oh, I respect this guy. He's been working here a lot longer than I have. But I actually want to do my job well. And so I decided not to take his advice. Of course, when he'd walk past, I'd sort of slow down a little bit. You know, I didn't want to upset him. But I would generally work pretty efficiently. And I just thought, if he wants to work slowly, he's worried about getting shown for the lazy worker that he is, then that is his problem. I decided not to take his advice. Maybe people are telling you that winning is more important than honesty. Maybe people are telling you to cheat the system. Maybe people are pinning everything on you and telling you that you're the problem and gaslighting you. I don't know. There's lots of ways people can crowd around you on the way and give you bad advice. And the psalm's saying, you'll be blessed if you stop your ears to it. So what is the alternative? What's the alternative to hearing and listening to and following bad advice? The alternative is verse 2, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. The alternative is a B word. Bible reading. There we go. Bible reading. That's the alternative to bad advice is Bible reading. This is a person who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. The word for meditate there in Hebrew is haggah. It actually means to murmur under your breath, to murmur under your breath. And really, in the ancient world, no one read silently. I don't know if you knew that. No one read just in their head. If you were going to, in the ancient world, if you're going to read something, you always read out loud. No one just kind of sat in their bed and just kind of looked at the words and considered that reading. Everyone read out loud. And so murmuring on his law, meditating on his law, that means reading his law, reading God's word. It means reading God's word day and night. It's a reminder that meditation in the Bible is not emptying your mind. That's Eastern meditation. We don't empty our minds. We fill our minds with God's word. That's Christian meditation, filling your mind with God's word, reading it, thinking about it, murmuring it, and meditating on it. So my question to you is, how are you going to do that in 2026? What is your plan to engage with God's word? Sadly, for many Christians, their Bible intake is a sermon every second Sunday, or maybe every fourth Sunday. I don't know how often you come to church. Or maybe a verse of the day that pops up on your phone, and that's about it. I don't know about you, but that's never felt enough for me. It's never felt enough for me. I need more of God's word to face the challenges of daily life. I need more of God's word to fill my mind with wisdom, to help me to understand who God is, to help me to understand what God wants in my life. I need lots of God's word. I need a stream of God's wisdom constantly leading me to be more like Jesus. And reading God's word, therefore, is what I believe to be the most transformational practice you can have in 2026. There are a few options I'd love to give you. One is you could pick up a Bible reading plan that takes you through the whole Bible in a year. I would love to encourage you to do that. If someone could listen to this sermon and go, right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. It's only day 4 now. You can catch up the 3 days in the afternoon today. You know, it's totally fine. If that happened, and sometimes that happens when I preach sermons like this at the start of a year, someone says to me, and I don't need you to tell me now, tell me in 6 months' time. Hey, Tim, remember when you preached on that at the start of the year? I started a Bible reading plan and I'm still going with it. That'll be the biggest encouragement you can give me in 6 months' time. Maybe the whole Bible is too much. Maybe you just don't have the time or the discipline or whatever it is to do that. You could read through the New Testament in a year. One way to do that is you read through a chapter of the New Testament every weekday and you'll get through the whole New Testament in a year. Or maybe that's also not your personality type. My wife, Jo, she doesn't like being given, you know, read these chapters today and nothing else. She likes the flexibility of being able to read more when she's got more time and less when she's got less time. And so she follows a plan where you put 7 bookmarks in your Bible. And then you just, on Monday, you read from Monday's bookmark as much or as little as you like. And then on Tuesday, you read from Tuesday's bookmark as much or as little as you like. And you're gradually just working through the Bible that way. And if you'd like any more advice about Bible reading plans or any more resources, just ask me, message me, email me, tim@tcbc.org.au. Talk to me after the service. I'd love to help you work out your Bible reading plan for 2026. That would be my honor and privilege. So verse 2 says, who meditates on his law day and night. It means reading God's word regularly. It means reading it so much day and night. That means all the time, that it permeates our lives. And we do that not out of duty, but out of delight. This is something I love to do. The psalm then changes direction and paints a creative picture of what it looks like to live this kind of life, a life that meditates on God's word. It says this in verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. What do you think is my B phrase here?
Blossom.
Oh, that'd be a good one. Should have done that one. No, it's bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Here the psalmist paints a beautiful picture for us of a tree planted by streams of water that bears fruit all the time and whose leaves do not wither. And the stream of water is God's word. That's God's wisdom. Remember, this is a wisdom psalm. If you're constantly drinking from God's wisdom, then you're going to flourish like a tree bearing fruit. And if you're not constantly drinking from God's wisdom, if you don't have that stream of water underneath you or next to you all the time, then you're not going to blossom like a tree planted by streams of water. You'll sometimes flourish when it rains. You'll get a bit of water then. And then when it's dry, you're not going to get any water then. The message here is you don't need the rain if you've got the river. You don't need the rain if you've got the river. You don't need the external circumstances in your life to all line up accidentally for you to grow spiritually if you've got God's word constantly as a source of wisdom and nourishment in your life. You don't need the rain if you've got the river. I love how this verse says, whatever they do prospers. There's a prosperity that comes from living a life according to the wisdom of God. I'm not promising you to be rich and famous. Apologies. I don't think your life will become super easy if you read God's word. That's not what I think Scripture is saying. But there is a sense that if you do drink regularly from the stream of God's truth, God's wisdom, then you are going to flourish. It's going to nourish your life. You're going to prosper in everything you do. Sometimes we're afraid of the prosperity language of the Bible. You know, we're worried if we just sort of emphasize that little part of the verse there, then next minute, you're going to be a televangelist with a million-dollar jet or something. I'm not planning on becoming a televangelist with a million-dollar jet. I don't think this is promising everybody to be rich and healthy. I don't think it's saying that. When it says, whatever they do prospers, though, I do want to emphasize that, and I want to drink from that truth, and I want to learn what does it mean. And what I think it means is every aspect of your life, every aspect of your life will be positively impacted by you drinking from God's wisdom. Every aspect of your life. That's the whatever you do part. Every part of your life will benefit if you drink from God's wisdom. What do I mean? Well, I mean that if you follow God's teaching, you'll be more loving, and that will benefit your relationships. If you follow God's teaching, you'll be more disciplined, and that will improve your work life or your school life. If you follow God's wisdom, if you drink from His truth, you'll be more forgiving, and that will help your mental health. If you follow God's wisdom, you'll be more kind, and that will improve your friendships. If you follow God's wisdom, if you learn from it, if you grow in it, you'll be more patient. And that will improve your mood when you're waiting in line at the supermarket. If you drink from God's truth, if you love His wisdom, if you delight in His word, you'll be more faithful. And that will improve your marriage if you're married. If you love God's truth, if you drink from this stream of living water, you'll be more self-controlled. And that will improve your physical health. God's wisdom impacts every aspect of our lives. And so if we are like this person who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on it day and night, whatever we do will prosper. Whatever we do will experience some more flourishing than it otherwise would have because of the wisdom of God, a good God who teaches us how to live. I heard a quote years ago that has always stuck with me, and that is that many people come to Jesus for eternal salvation, but they don't come to Him for advice. Many people come to Jesus for eternal salvation, but they don't come to Him for advice. They're like, yeah, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. So I repent of my sin and I trust in You. And then, okay, my eternity is secure, but please don't tell me how to live. You know, please don't tell me what to do today or tomorrow, because I've kind of got that covered. And this psalm is saying, no, you're missing out if you don't drink from God's wisdom. The blessed life begins when you stop your ears to bad advice and delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Then you'll be like a tree planted by streams of water that bears fruit and whose leaves do not wither. You'll experience the prosperity that God wants for his children because of the power of the wisdom of God's word. And the wicked will not have this benefit. There are two kinds of people in this psalm, the righteous and the wicked. The wicked won't have this benefit. Look at verse 4. Not so the wicked, they're like chaff that the wind blows away. If the righteous are this tree planted by streams of water, a solid, growing, stable tree, the wicked are also described as some kind of plant matter, but they are the least stable and the least solid, and it is chaff. Now, chaff is the part of the head of the grain that you don't need anymore. Right? So if you imagine you've got wheat growing in your field, I think this is rice husks, but imagine you've got wheat growing in your field. Do you need to harvest that wheat? So you're cutting down the stem. And then what you need to do is thresh the grain, which is like thresh and thrash, by the way, come from the same root. Thrashing is what you do to anything other than grain, but threshing is what you do when you're doing it to grain. Right? It's the same idea. You're just kind of beating this grain in some way, there are different ways to do it, in order to separate the grain from the chaff. And then after threshing, what they do is winnow the grain, winnowing. And winnowing, the traditional way of doing it, is you take that grain when there's a light breeze and you throw it up into the air and the heavy grain falls back down and the chaff is blown away by the wind. So what do you think is my B phrase now, by the way? Hey, you guys are good. Blown away. There it is. Blown away. And the message here is that God will blow away the wicked. They won't last. They won't benefit from the stability that comes from a righteous life in the wisdom of God. They're not this beautiful tree. The word for wind is also the same word for spirit, ruach. It could mean that the Holy Spirit drives them away, which is another idea that we see sometimes in the scriptures. Verse 5 actually explains this all to us. It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Verse 5 is explaining verse 4. The wind is blowing away the wicked like chaff. And what that means, therefore, is that the wicked will not stand in the judgment of God. They'll be bowed down. They won't be able to stand up and meet Jesus. And they won't enter into the assembly of the righteous. My B phrase here is a little stark. Barred from entry. Barred from entry. This is the picture of that final day when the Lord Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead and to welcome the righteous into his eternal kingdom, and the wicked are barred from entry. They're barred from the experience of the Lord Jesus wiping every tear from our eyes. They're barred from the experience of that celebration in the heavenly throne room, celebrating what Jesus has done in defeating death and in welcoming us into his kingdom. They're barred from the experience of the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. And so we're encouraged to live our lives in light of that final judgment, that final day, and to long to enter into the assembly of the righteous. You might remember the beautiful words of that old African-American spiritual, "When the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in." That's the idea here. You want to be in that number. You want to be present on that day when the saints go marching into the assembly of the righteous. And the best way to prepare yourself for that, give your life to Jesus, surrender it to him, trust him, make him the Lord and Savior of your life, and then read his word. Live your life in a delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Stop your ears to the bad advice of the wicked. Go to a life group. Study the Bible together. Come to church regularly. Make the scriptures a key part of your life. And that will enable you to prosper. Let me close with the final verse. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The B phrase here is actually a bit more what you expected at the start. Blessed life, blessed life. Because this is the reason why at the start we're given a picture of the blessed life. Blessed is the one who, and here we finally get the reason behind all of this. For, that's the reason, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Note that the Lord isn't just watching over the righteous. He's watching over the way of the righteous, the path of the righteous. The path that you choose depends on whether God's loving attention is on you. If you walk on the way of the righteous, then God's loving attention is on you. He's looking upon you lovingly. He's blessing you. He's smiling on those who walk along the path of the righteous. So if you want to know God's blessing in your life, walk on this path and you will find it. You'll experience the happy life, the life in which you delight in God's word, when you meditate on it day and night. You'll find it like water nourishing your roots so that you can bear fruit and so that your leaves will not wither. I'm not saying you won't experience trials and suffering. I'm saying that you will experience more of God's prosperity and blessing if you follow His wisdom. Does that make sense? I'm not saying there's no trials, there's no suffering, there's no struggle, there's no difficulty, there's no sadness, and there's no grief. I'm just saying, compared to not listening to God's wisdom, listening to God's wisdom is a far happier life. It's a far happier life. And you'll be blessed because it invites God's attention, His knowledge, His watching over you, and that's the blessed life, where the Lord watches over us in His love, in His faithfulness, in His loyalty, in His kindness, in His attentiveness to us, and in His blessing. We're going to move into a time of communion now. I'll invite the band up. And what I'd love to do is to just invite you to spend some moments responding to what you've heard from God's word. Just take a few moments to repent of your sin, to say sorry to God for times when you have missed His best for your life, when you've rejected His wisdom. Think of times when you followed bad advice and bring them to the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry for this. Let's bring to the Lord our sin as we prepare to take communion together and experience the forgiveness that Jesus has won for us on the cross. So let me give you some moments to prepare your heart in silence now. Thank you.